Broadcasting live right now on Oldies 101 and WMUN News Radio, plus stream, smart speaker, and on demand shortly after the event. I'm Steve Lindell, Director of News Operations for our group, and we'd like to thank all the volunteers and the Ricks Theater for the Arts for their assistance to bring this event to the voters of Indiana's 6th Congressional District. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan grassroots public policy and educational organization. It encourages informed and active participation in government. It does not support or oppose any political party or candidate. We are pleased to offer this nonpartisan event to help inform and engage the citizens of Indiana Congressional District 6. Our format for the evening, in a moment, I'll briefly introduce the candidates. The candidates will have a one-minute opening statement. Volunteers in the audience who will raise their hands right now are looking for questions from the audience. If you let them know you have one written down, they would be glad to take those. They'll be reviewed by members of the League before being passed on to me to be read to the candidates. Questions will be reviewed for clarity of language and handwriting, repetition from previously asked questions, and appropriateness of topic or language. The content and intent of the questions will not be modified. The candidates will have 1 minute to answer each question, rotating in responding. Timekeepers will indicate when there is 20 seconds remaining and when their time is up. Photographs may not be taken during the forum except by the League and the media. There are some approved members from the League in advance of the event tonight, which also have that notation on their name badge. At the end of the hour, each candidate will have 2 minutes for a closing statement, and then I'll make a brief closing remark or two after that. We ask that you please hold your reactions during the forum and hold your applause until after we greet the candidates right now for the 6th Congressional District. In alphabetical order, James Ciniak, Libertarian. Jefferson Shreve, unable to attend tonight. The Republican was invited but was unable to attend due to a prior commitment out of state. And on the dais also is Cynthia, or Cindy, Worth, Democrat candidate. Please welcome our candidates to the stage. I'll ask the candidates in a moment. We'll make their opening statements for 1 minute each. There was a coin toss prior to the event, and the coin toss was won by Mr. Ciniak. The first to speak will be Cindy Worth. I will ask the candidates to hold that microphone nice and close. You can go ahead and grab it right now and stay close to that microphone for what is now the opening statements for 1 minute.
Thank you. And thank you to the League of Women Voters from Henry, Hancock, and Johnson counties. This is an incredible opportunity you've given us. I'm Cindy Worth. I am your Democratic nominee for U.S. House of Representatives 6th District. And I am a Hoosier. I am born and lived my life in Indiana. I am the great-granddaughter of a rural horseback mail carrier and the granddaughter of everyone's favorite lady who made the yellow smile face cookies at the bakery. So I am a hardworking Hoosier, and we all learn that from a very young age, right? Hardworking Hoosiers. So I am running for Congress because I am ready to get to work to protect the rights of women and their bodies and the decisions that they need to make for themselves. I'm running to help protect and preserve Social Security. And I am also running to make sure that we keep our public education system public. We have a world-class free and public education system that needs to remain in place.
Time. Thank you very much. Now the opening statement of James Ciniak.
Good evening. Thank you for being here. This election is about you, the voters. And that's what I'm here for, to listen to your guys' questions, listen to your concerns, and that's what I'll take to DC. I am a behavior therapist, so I work with kids with autism. I've done that for 6 years. It's a passion of mine, and that's what I do for my career. I'm a lifelong Hoosier from Northern Indiana. I relocated to Greenwood, Indiana, and have called that home for the last few years. I'm definitely a dedicated sports enthusiast, and let's go Fever tonight. I'm excited to see what they will do in the playoffs. What can I do for you, the voters here in the 6th District? I believe that we need better representation in the 6th District and across the U.S. We need to take care of our veterans better. We've failed veterans in Washington, D.C., and we continue to see that failure. The economy is a huge issue for Hoosiers. We need to do better with the economy. We need to stop spending and reduce inflation. And I'm excited to share more of my thoughts tonight as we continue this forum.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Seniak. Now we begin with the questions and answers. We will start closest to me. So Mr. Seniak, keep that microphone close to you. Again, a reminder of the rules. A one-minute time frame for the answers. Each candidate will answer each of the questions. One of the fascinating parts of these forums that the league puts on is you get to hear the answer of the candidates side by side about the issues and items that you are caring about most. I have several questions in my hand already from members of the audience. Please feel free to keep those coming with the volunteers that are in the aisleways. All right, Mr. Seniak, 1 minute to respond to both of you. You are first. What would your response be to someone who expresses concern about the fairness and safety of U.S. elections? 1 minute.
For our democracy, we have to make sure it's fair, and we have to make sure that we have a process that listens to the voter. I believe we work hard to strive for that, but we need to ensure that voters feel that security. So when they go to polls, does their vote actually count? Does it show up? So we need to make sure that we reassure voters that that voice is heard. The best thing we can do is investigate concerns and then make sure that we are hearing through them every single voter. If there are those concerns, I'd address it in D.C., but we do need fair and safe elections.
All right, same question, same answer for Cindy Wirth.
So I think in the United States, we are fortunate that we have a distributed system where our counties are responsible for safety and security of our elections. And I think that is one of the best ways that we can continue that security that we've had the luxury of having. We have very safe and very secure elections. I think people realize that their vote does count until maybe some inflammatory statements are made, making people question whether they are. But it comes down to trusting our fellow citizens and our local counties that they are doing the responsible job that they have been tasked to do.
Hold on to that microphone. You'll get the first answer of the next question. Thank you very much. And if you're wondering also why I'm mentioning the candidate's name at the beginning of each of the answers, that is for our radio listeners. They don't have the luxury of seeing the placards in front of the candidates. So the first answer to you, Cindy or Cynthia, will be, what sort of ethics guidelines, rules, would you propose for SCOTUS if you are elected to this seat?
That's a great question. I love this one. I think the Supreme Court should be held to the very standards that Congress is also held to. And there are stringent ethics laws that are adhered to in Congress and are enforced by Congress itself. And I think the same should be applied for gifts and receipts of material goods or trips or things for the Supreme Court. I think no one is above ethics laws, and I think everyone should be held to the same standards. And whether you're a Supreme Court justice or whether you're a congressperson or whether you're a person on the street, ethics are very important to our American system of government and our well-being of citizenry.
And now Mr. Seniak.
Thank you for this question. I believe the three branches of government was set up so that we can have checks and balances. And ethics is absolutely important on the SCOTUS role. As your representative, what I would do to make sure that we have ethics is when I vote for the next Supreme Court justice, I would make sure that they're an ethical person. I would look at their history of how they vote. But with the three branches of government, we really do need to recognize that there are separations. But all three branches should be held to ethical standards.
All right. Mr. Siniak, you will be first to answer the next question from the audience. What kind of legislation would you pursue regarding legal immigration?
As President Reagan said, we need to be a city on a hill for immigrants. We have to do better. There has to be a more secured way and convenient way for immigrants to come across the border. The more we make it legal, the less illegal immigrants we have. When we give that opportunity and we realize that we are founded by immigrants, I'm a third generation immigrant. So my great grandfather immigrated here. We have to have that process. So the best way to make less illegal immigrants is to have that safe process where we vet those coming in. We make sure that they want to have a successful life in America, but we do need that process with fluency, and we need to make sure that people understand how to get in here.
All right, and now Cindy Wirth.
So we are a nation of immigrants, and this past spring we had a bipartisan bill in Congress that was before Congress that was worked on by both sides and agreed upon by both sides that would begin to solve our immigration crisis right now. It put in place things like more people to work border security. It put into place better ways that we could streamline the process of immigration. And this was defeated by a few extremists in our current Congress who decided to make it a political football. And so I think we have the tools, we have the pieces of legislation that we need to go forward for immigration to allow people to come into our country. We need our immigrants here, and we need to protect the ways that they can enter our country.
All right, you'll get the next question here from the audience. They would like to know, what would you propose to make health care more affordable for all? Cindy Wirth.
So I think we have in place health care provisions that people, if they don't have health care tied to their job, they can access on the open marketplace. But one of the difficulties we have is that our health care primarily is tied to our employment. So one of the things that I think would be a better way to do that is to unbundle healthcare from our employment status and make it more of a system where everyone has access to healthcare that is consistent and high quality. And there are programs that are being put out there like Medicare for All, and they come under a bunch of different names. But I think the whole premise is to make things more affordable and higher quality for everyone, regardless of your employment status.
And now James Siniak.
Healthcare, we have to take care of Hoosiers, we have to take care of Americans. The best way to make it more affordable is to make it more competitive and less tied to Washington, D.C. politics. Many times there's monopolies within healthcare, and that's formed by politics. So we need to remove some of that government corrupt government interference with that system, and we need to make it more competitive. When we do that, it'll reduce the cost of healthcare. And that's the main objective. We need to reduce that cost.
All right, next question from the audience. What laws will you work for or support to protect our children from gun violence in our schools, Mr. Siniak?
Yeah, we see it year after year, guns and violence in the schools. I, as an ABA therapist, have worked in a school system, and I've seen how we need to secure our schools. With that system, there's a three-door policy. Every visitor and guest had to go through three doors. There's definitely metal detectors that we can use. There's ways to secure our schools. Look, we want to secure, we can secure football games, we can secure malls, but how do we have that same security within our school system? We need to do better for our kids, and we need to make sure those policies are in place and that districts across America have those resources to protect our kids.
And now Cindy Wirth.
So I'm a teacher, so I have had to shepherd students through the run, hide, fight drills, and before that, the hide and cower drills. And we know the problem is the weapons of war that are accessible and on the streets. And while nothing will safeguard everyone all of the time, even our shopping malls and our grocery stores are at risk. So it's not just, it's a big part of it is our schools and our teachers and our students, but it is everyone in our communities. And removing those weapons of war off the street doesn't mean that taking away anyone's guns or what they need to hunt. It means making sure that people don't have access to things that will be used to harm our students. And one of the things that I think is most interesting about it is when we put all of these security pieces in place in our schools, they become very much like prisons. And students are already in a tough spot having to deal with all these drills.
Thank you very much. Cindy Wirth will have the first answer to the next question here at the 6th District Congressional Forum. The question from the audience, would you vote in support of the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act?
I would. I think the John Lewis Voting Rights Act expands how we can make sure that everyone is able to vote and access voting places. And when we put barriers up to people to vote, then that it goes against our Constitution.
All right, Mr. Siniak.
Good question. With every law that I pass, every legislation that I would vote for, I'd have to look at the details. And some of the details for this specific act, I need to do more research before I could give a definite answer. But what I do know is we got to change how we vote to get more voters able to vote. There's amazing technology that I believe as we move forward, we can actually make voting a lot more convenient and secure. So I think we all want secure elections. I think we all want more voters. And it is possible with the technology. I'll give an example of sports betting. Sports betting, you're required to give your location, the exact location. You have to give your ID. So there's ways to make things secure online and through technology that we can use in further elections. And I believe that that's just around the corner and we can be ahead of our game on that.
Mr. Siniak, the next question is to you first. How would you work to keep Social Security operating for the next term?
Yeah, Social Security, we all know that if it continues at the rate it's going, it'll be no longer for generations in the future. So we have to do something. I believe that we could do that something right now. We could have an opt-out where people are able to opt out of 3% of the Social Security, and they can use that to invest in their own while still taking care of those who need Social Security. It would still give those who are on Social Security the money that they need currently, while those who are opt-out have better investment opportunities for their own retirement. So looking at that 3% and looking how to change that, I believe we could definitely make Social Security better for future.
All right, next up, Cindy Wirth.
So currently there is a bill on the House floor from Representative Larson from Connecticut on this very thing. What it does is it puts provisions in to roll back some windfall taxes on Social Security, which helps a lot of our seniors. But it also removes the exemption from the payroll tax deduction above $400,000 of salary. So when currently it's not sustainable because we're not taxing everyone appropriately, and that does need to be adjusted for today's world. And the bill that's out there is actually bipartisan supported and is one of the best solutions that I've seen come down the pike for protecting and preserving Social Security right now.
Next item from the audience to Cindy Wirth. and both candidates, but Ms. Wirth first, should the EPA be abolished, and why or why not?
So in addition to being a teacher, I'm also a scientist. I'm a biologist. When I taught environmental science at a high school level, I taught why we have the EPA, what was happening in our country before we had the EPA, and why it's necessary to protect everyday people. We can't rely on companies and large businesses to police themselves when it comes to environmental issues. And we have seen this in the 1950s and 1960s with the Cuyahoga River on fire, the air pollution levels at record highs that we have not seen since we've had the EPA in effect. I think the EPA is one of the most effective organizations that puts the needs of everyday citizens above profits of corporations and protects their health.
Mr. Siniak.
We need to absolutely take care of our environment. As a child, one of the things that the stories I tell is I saw a pop can in the middle of a grocery store, right there in the middle of the produce. And I asked my mom, why would someone do that? And she explained how littering and how we need to take care of our environment. So from there, I formed my own business, and I went around neighborhoods collecting pop cans, and I made money. I think we can do better than the EPA is doing right now. I think we can incentivize people to take care of our environment. It's important that we do this for future generations. We need a clean water, we need clean air. But what the EPA is doing isn't that right now. And we need to look at this and adjust it and make it better for future generations.
All right, next question from the audience. Mr. Siniak, will you support federal legislation guaranteeing the right to abortion? Why or why not?
Healthcare is absolutely important, and it's something I ran in 2022 on. I am personally pro-life. I believe that when we try to define life, we should define it on the early side, including in the womb. However, there are times where end-of-life decisions need to be made. And these decisions, the government needs to stay out of. So we need abortions to be safe. We need them to be private. And additionally, I want them to be rare. So looking at ways we can, you know, prevent abortions before they're even a decision to make. Contraceptions, making sure that they're available to those who need them. And then making sure that we have an economy where people can flourish and not have to worry about the dollars that they're going to spend on their new baby. So there are a lot of ways to prevent abortion and reduce abortion, and I believe that we can do that without infringing on healthcare rights.
Cindy Wirth.
Our government has no business in our exam rooms, nor do legislators have that role. Abortion is healthcare, and for whatever reason someone needs an abortion, that is their decision between themselves and their healthcare provider, if they wish between their clergy, but not necessarily. We have women currently bleeding to death in hospital parking lots, waiting for care because healthcare providers are afraid for prison time and their licenses to be revoked. And this is unconscionable and cruel and inhumane. So abortion is healthcare, period.
Next question from the audience for both candidates here tonight. Should the federal government be involved in forgiving student loan debt?
So the biggest misconception with student loan debt forgiveness is that we're forgiving the debt. And what's actually happening is it's massive amounts of interest that are being forgiven. And I think when we put that perspective back on it, that it's not necessarily the loan that's being forgiven, it's all of the massive amount of interest that is unlike any other form of interest that you could incur for any other debt, then yes, I think we need solutions. I taught in a Title I school and had some of my student loans forgiven from becoming a teacher. And I think there are many ways that we can look at loan forgiveness besides calling it loan forgiveness, but it's more interest forgiveness.
And now James Siniak.
Yeah, this is a great question. I dealing with student loans as well. Student loans are a real thing, and there's a lot of things we have to look at with this issue. First off, 18-year-olds, are they old enough as adults to make these decisions for these loans? And then the interest that goes with them, as was mentioned before. The interest is absolutely outrageous on student loans, and we could do better with that. And we have to the future, prevent this situation from happening. But as far as current forgiveness of loans, the way the government is talking about it, I think there's better ways to do it. And I think that we can reduce that interest rate as well as helping people get out of this debt.
The next question from an audience member wins the award so far of all the amazing questions asked so far of best penmanship and also detail from the audience. You can see there are facts within this question, which I cannot fact check as they do on national TV. I will assume them all to be accurate as we ask our candidates the following audience question. 29% of all households in the 6th District are renters. That is 82,000 households. There is a deficit of 21,000 affordable units. What role should Congress play in alleviating the shortage of affordable housing, and how would you vote to fix it, Mr. Siniak?
Yeah, this is a great question because it's a current crisis. And it goes back to the economy. The American dream that was alive with my parents and grandparents is no longer relevant for those in their 20s. To own a house, if you look at the cost and how much people make per year, it's becoming less of a dream for Americans, and we need that economic opportunity. So this is really just a great economy question, and it comes down to making your money more valuable. How do we make your money more valuable? We got to reduce the spending in Washington, D.C. We got to reduce inflation. We have to bring accountability to the Fed, and there has to be ways to make your money more valuable. So once we do that, we can then talk about the housing. And housing right now, I think I looked at a house across the street from me that was going originally on the market for $500,000 that was not valuable, what I would consider to be
$500,000. Time, please. Cindy Worth, same question.
So affordable housing is one of the great crises we're experiencing right now. And part of our rental crisis is the gobbling up, so to speak, of rental properties by private equity companies that are exploiting the rental market for their own profit. And I think the solution for this is looking at programs specifically for renters. You know, expensive markets have rent control places that are designated to help with this. There's a variety of solutions that we could look at that will give renters more agency in what they're experiencing, and make housing not so much of an investment for people to make a lot of money off of, but to provide shelter for what it really is. It's housing.
Next question from the audience. What solutions to the crisis in the Middle East would you present if you are elected to this position?
So there's a lot of things being thrown around on the news and social media today about the Middle East, and I assume we're talking about Israel, Palestine, and Hamas. Israel has every right to defend itself. In fact, any country that's attacked has every right to defend itself. But there comes a point when we need to remember, when we're looking at things through the humanitarian lens, that there are people who are innocent victims that should not be happening right now. So I do think we should continue our support of Israel, but we also need to keep in mind that when we are looking at a war situation, we need to keep in mind that there is a humanitarian aspect to it and be cognizant of that with all of our decisions.
And now the question to James Siniak.
There's a crisis in the Middle East, and we have choices. And Israel is our ally. We need to take care of our allies. But more importantly than that, what do we do as our global presence? And I don't believe that we've pursued peaceful options enough. We can put economic pressure on countries to bring those peaceful solutions. But the most important part is the casualties, right? We have children dying on both sides, and this is tragic. So we have to look at this from a holistic perspective and understand that it's a very complicated issue, and we also need to help our allies in the Middle East. To the crisis, back to the housing crisis, just to finish my one thought on that, we have to bring down the cost of housing so that people can pursue that American dream. The cost, we need to make that more affordable.
Thank you, Mr. Siniak. You'll have the first answer to the next question as well. Where do you stand on term limits and age limits for elected positions? 1 minute, please.
Age limits, there should be no age limits. If they're competent and voters vote them in, that's up to the voters. I also believe that term limits are actually a good thing. So we need to have term limits. I don't believe that we need lifelong politicians. We need people who are connected to the communities in office. So I've advocated for term limits for whatever office I've ran for. That comes down to even the local level. But ultimately with term limits, even though I'm an advocate for it, term limits are really up to the voters. So if you don't want to see someone in there for life, don't vote them in. It really comes down to you as voters, but I would like to see term limits to every office.
And now Cindy Wirth.
So I think with age limits, I think that is something that needs to be addressed on the individual level with cognition, because there is a range that can happen. And I think we've seen with a number of professions that when we make a hard cutoff line, that's not always in the best interest of everyone. There are many people who have different levels at different ages of cognition. And as far as term limits, I do think that the voters determine who is elected, and I think an engaged voter base and an engaged community of voters is what will really help with the term limits. Many positions in government are very complicated when you're looking at the representative angle because there are many things to learn. That learning curve is not short. It can be very steep in some cases. So I'm not against term limits, but I think we need to keep in mind the difficulty of the job and how to learn it and what it takes to be able to be good at the job.
All right, thank you. Same candidate, new question now. Cindy Wirth, what steps need to be taken to improve the VA?
So I've met with a number of veterans on this very issue, and there are issues that are everywhere from not enough physicians, not enough physician continuity. Many of the veterans that I've talked to can't see the same physician after the first time they go and see their physician. And continuity of care is critical when you're working with veterans. They need to be able to trust their providers. They need to be able to know that they're going to get good quality care on a consistent basis. And I think that some of the biggest issues that the VA faces right now, there are some funding issues, but I think overall we need to concentrate on continuity of care and quality of care for veterans.
All right, next answer, James Siniak.
Washington has failed veterans, and their health care is the biggest part of it. These individuals fought for our freedoms. They fought for our rights. They gave their body, and some of them gave their lives. We need to do better on this front. And my solution is veteran care. I ran on this in 2022, and it's ultimately about returning healthcare to their control. So it allows for us to still support their healthcare, but it creates a system where the VA is no longer a middleman to their healthcare. They have the same opportunities and the same availability of their healthcare system that any American has. And I believe this frees up their choices. It frees up their choices for doctors. It frees up where they can get their care and how convenient their care is. It'll make their care more timely and more convenient for them. So when we do this for veterans, we will definitely take care of those who fought for us, and that's the most important thing as we look for the future of their care.
Thank you very much. Same candidate, next question. Would you support the continuation of the Affordable Care Act? Why or why not?
The Affordable Care Act was misnamed. It didn't actually make things more affordable. It just kind of kicked the stone down the road. We really got to work on this inflation. We got to work on Washington, D.C. spending. The accountability lies with Washington, D.C. And so who we represent, who we send is important, and how they spend our money, because it is our money. It's our tax money going to our government. So when we reduce that spending, we definitely are going to bring more value to our money. But this is all economic questions. And I think that the source is that we're just spending past our max. And that's why we're seeing all the crisis with the housing. It's why we see groceries and our tables. Going to the grocery store, it's $50 for a few meals now. And that's not reasonable for us. Our salaries aren't increasing by that much. So
thank you very much.
Better.
And Cindy Wirth.
So I do believe the Affordable Care Act should continue. Before it was in place, if you lost your job, you were without health care completely. And in our world today, that's not acceptable. Some things that we could do better for the Affordable Care Act is have the same powers of negotiation like Medicare does for prescriptions and for providers. And looking forward, those are some of the best ways to streamline it and make the quality of care higher. So I do think it should continue. I don't want to see a world where we have no health care for those people who are not employed. And if you remember back to that time, if you ever did lose a job, it was very unaffordable. If you've ever had to pay for COBRA, it's very unaffordable. So I think it is a good program. I think we can always make it better.
WMUN, WHBU.
Next question from the audience to you first. What is your position about the Electoral College?
So I think the Electoral College is an antiquated system based on a society that no longer exists. And I think when we look at where we were as a country when it was established, we are not there any longer. It is not truly a representation of our country's values, and our country's desires. So I think we need to look at options that will better reflect what those things that we all, when we go to vote, we want to make sure our vote counts. And I think the Electoral College stands in the way of that.
Now to James Siniak.
Yeah, the Electoral College can, I believe it's the best system that we have, and I believe we need to continue it as is. I do apologize on the last question. I misheard the CARE Act. The health care, it actually didn't, for some people, it didn't make it more affordable. For others, it did. For me, at the lower middle class level, at the time that it was established, it actually made it more expensive for me. So there's definitely things we can adjust within that healthcare plan. But we would have to do everything in increments and stages to make it better and to make sure that people are receiving the healthcare that they need.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Siniak, the next question from the audience to you first. There has been a lot of talk about how Congress has become dysfunctional. What can you do to improve this situation?
It's absolutely dysfunctional, and it's become two sides that won't even look for what's best for their constituents. And so I believe that as a libertarian, I am in a unique position that is able to actually be a reasonable voice in Washington, D.C. I'm not obligated to vote with one side. I can look to see what is best for Hoosiers and be able to negotiate those on the table for whatever act legislation is up for debate. So it really puts me in a unique position to be able to work with both sides on issues that I agree with and that Hoosiers will agree with. I believe that we need to work together more so that we can see more unity within Congress. And One of the ways to do that is to vote third party. So I think when we want to talk about valuing our vote, it actually puts Hoosiers at a very unique principle to vote third party, because that gives you more voice, because everyone now wants that vote for their legislation.
And Cindy Wirth.
So we have had the most ineffective Congress in decades. And one of the reasons why is there is no one that we're sending to Congress that is holding people accountable for what they're doing. So when I say that, there are a couple of caucuses within Congress. One is the Problem Solvers Caucus that is addressing this issue. So there are people, good people on both sides, Republican and Democrats, and probably a couple independents, working on this issue. But without the ability to stand up and use your voice and the tools that we have to hold members of Congress responsible, then we're going to be stuck in the gridlock. When people only toe the party line or look out for their own interests, that's counterintuitive to what the job is. It is a representative job, and that means what's best for the people in your home district.
And the next question from the audience for the candidates tonight at the 6th District Congressional Forum here in Greenfield, Indiana. Would you pledge to vote against an interim or full budget that is not balanced?
So that's a difficult question to answer without any details at all. When you're dealing in hypotheticals, there's so many different ways that this could be structured. It's not something I would need more information on that. It depends on, you know, which parts of the budget we're talking about. It depends on, you know, how much we're talking about, what's going to happen. I don't advocate for the government shutting down ever. I think we should be able to hammer out a solution no matter what. I've been in Washington, D.C. when the government shuts down, and it affects people all from all walks of life, particularly our senior citizens and our members of the military. No one should be asked to work without pay. So when we are looking at shutting down the government because we can't agree, that's a problem that's internal to Congress and should be hammered out before it gets to that point.
And Mr. Siniak.
Yeah, a balanced budget is what we need in Washington, D.C. We'll have to take our increments to get there. It doesn't just happen overnight. So there are some things we have to look at when we do this. We don't want people to be affected negatively as we get that balanced budget, but it can be done in our government. Indiana has a balanced budget. So we know that it can be done in our government. And when we look at the economy, that Washington, D.C. spending, we have to do something. So that incremental approach to getting to a balanced budget is what we need. There may be budgets along the way that aren't quite to the balanced, but I'm going to really look at how we spend in Washington, D.C. and get us as close to a balanced budget as possible.
Thank you. Mr. Siniak, do you believe a strong public education system is foundational to a healthy democracy? And if so, what actions will you support to strengthen public education? And if not, please explain why.
I do believe in public education. I just have a very different perspective of where that should be ran through. I don't think that Washington, D.C. Is the right place to make those decisions for our public education system. Each state has unique situations and unique areas where they need to address on their own. So with the public education system, I'd like it to be brought back to the states. I think that the more we interfere in Washington, D.C., the less we're taking care of our kids. And there's a lot of ways we can educate with unique relevance to whether it be Indiana or Missouri or Florida. So those states know what's best for their constituents. And I think that when we take that budget out of Washington, D.C. and put it back into the states, they can do more with that budget for that public school system and for that education system.
And Cindy Wirth.
A free, nonpartisan, or nonsectarian public education is the bedrock of our democracy. And the reason why it's important at the federal level that we keep the Department of Education and public education up front is because there are protections that students have called the IDEA, or the Individuals with Disabilities Act, that protect students with disabilities in the classroom, and they share that same right, federal protection for their right to a public education. They cannot be removed from school for those reasons. And that includes kids on 504s and IEP plans. All kinds of students, it affects all kinds of students. The other thing it establishes are the Title I and Title II funds. So those fund programs and opportunities for low-income students, and also for teacher training for public schools. So it's very important to keep at the federal level.
Thank you very much. Same candidate, next question from our audience tonight. How do you think the current level of political violence can be reduced?
That's a great question. I think that remaining friendly with people, recognizing that we are all human and we all have thoughts and feelings, is one way that we can sort of ratchet down the temperature. Inflammatory statements and campaigning on fear are wrong and should be avoided. And I think that's one thing that I focus really hard on, is to find the common ground that everybody has. In the end, we're all Americans, and we all care about our families, our education, our parents, our children, our houses, our housing situation. We all have the same cares. And I think when we come back to those things that we care about, we share those.
Mr. Ciniak.
Great question. With politics and Washington, D.C., and how divided we are, there's many hot-button topics that we talk about in politics. We've talked about some of those tonight, and there are times where we disagree. But the reality is we need to focus on not what divides us, but what brings us together. We need to focus on our families, on the economy, on protecting our freedoms, protecting our veterans, and there's many, many more issues that we can agree on than that divide us. So when we focus on those things, we will do better. But also, look at tonight, two candidates coming together to discuss with the public about what's important to you. And we need more discussions like this, where people are willing to come to the same table, talk about their ideas, talk about their preferences, and to hear feedback. And when we do that, when we can come to the same room and be have conversation that flows, we will do better.
Thank you much, Mr. Ciniak. The next question from the audience. The U.S. spends roughly double the average for what are considered the healthy countries on healthcare, yet we perform poorly on key health metrics. How would you propose to fix this?
It is interesting, because we actually do spend a lot more on healthcare than many other countries that actually do have good healthcare systems. I think a lot of it comes down to the accountability and how we spend the money. I think bringing more competition, less monopolies within the medical system. The insulin is an example of one of those monopolies that happened and how it skyrocketed. And so now we had to deal with reducing that price. But we can do better by looking at how to spend more effectively. So this really comes down to a question of how our money is being spent, and why is it supporting certain monopolies and not others, and how we can make that more affordable for Hoosiers.
Cindy Wirth.
So there was a movement to privatize hospitals several decades ago. And when we saw the privatization of hospitals, we saw the quality of care go down in favor of profits from those hospitals. They retain a nonprofit status in most hospitals to help with the billing, but the overall goal is profit. And when we have profit and healthcare in the same venue, then profit is not going to lose. And I think that's one of the things that we're missing from our healthcare system, is we're putting so much priority on profit and not so much on people. And I'm very centered on people and what their experiences are and how we can make it better for people. Again, if we're using the Affordable Care Act or another program, if we can negotiate prices, that helps everybody win in quality of healthcare and in affordability.
Next question to Cindy Wirth. Do you support the death penalty?
I do not support the death penalty. I think it is barbaric and archaic and should be eliminated. And some of the reasons why is I value that we shouldn't be making those decisions for other people's lives.
And Mr. Siniak, same question to you.
This is one of those that I've actually changed my opinion on from early on. I do not believe in the death penalty. I believe that we can do better with our justice system, and there are times where our justice system is not 100%. We've seen people that have been convicted that were actually innocent. So we can do better within that, and the death penalty is something that does not allow for those checks and balances. We shouldn't, as a government, be taking life. And honestly, the death penalty is more expensive than life in prison. So there's also an expense that we can cut there. So absolutely, we should abolish the death penalty in America.
This, unfortunately, is the final question we will have before we enter our closing statements. You have presented many incredible and interesting questions. Audience, thank you for your help tonight, too, talking to the candidates for the 6th District. The question is, how do you think increased tariffs on imports will affect the U.S. economy? Mr. Siniak.
This is a great question. It's something that you have to dive into the numbers and look at the tariffs. I don't think that they will actually help the economy. I think that we should promote a free market across borders and a competitive market across borders. So some of these tariffs actually get in the way of that. We should promote trade with other countries. And I want to make sure that when we look at these tariffs, that they're not preventing trade. And then part of it, too, is when I talked about our allies with Israel, we also have to look at the tariffs and how we can put economic pressure for peace across the world, because I believe that instead of being the world's police, we should do it in more of an economic fashion. So a very complicated issue as far as there's many, many goods coming across, both and imports and exports. So we need to make sure that the economy is not affected by these tariffs.
And candidate Cindy Wirth.
I think tariffs, and I'm not sure what tariffs they're referring to on this question, don't positively impact our economy at all. I think when we're looking at restricting trade, we're going down that slippery slope toward isolationism, and that's not something that is good for our democracy ever. So I think there are instances where you may need tariffs on different things to incentivize production within the U.S., but I think it should be carefully thought out before before making those decisions, and without details. It's a little difficult to make a quick judgment on.
Ms. Wirth, hold on to that microphone. The closing statements will now come. Each candidate will have 2 minutes as per the rules, and by the coin flip at the beginning of the night, you were chosen to go first. Your 2 minutes.
So again, I'm Cindy Wirth. I'm a teacher and a scientist and a small business person, a true small business person. I am a lifelong Hoosier, and I'm running for Congress because I'm ready to go to work for Hoosiers in the 6th District. And when I say I'm ready to go to work, I know the issues, I know how to make decisions, I know most of all how to hold people accountable when they are not doing the job that they were elected to do. And I think that's one of the biggest parts of this job that is not being done across our nation. Women need to be able to be in charge of their decisions for their own bodies. And when we have healthcare procedures that have been used for decades, and we are losing women because those healthcare procedures are not being followed for risk of prison or lose a loss of licensure for a medical professional is unconscionable and it needs to end. We need to protect Social Security and Medicare because those programs were set up so that our retirees could retire with dignity and they could retire in place. And I think that's something that when we're all paying into that, we expect and we have many good ways to change that and make that solvent. Our public educational system is world class and founded on the principles of a free, non-sectarian public education for all. And the for all means whether you have disabilities, whether you are a different religion, and that should be protected at all costs because without an educated citizenry, we can't make the decisions we need to have a good functional democracy.
Thank you. And now 2 minutes for James Siniak.
Hi, thank you again for coming tonight. And maybe you're driving on the highway or maybe you're sitting at home at your dining room table. But wherever you are in whatever location, I want you to think about what issues are important to you and your family. So again, I'm James Siniak, and we've talked about a lot of issues today. We've talked about the economy, we've talked about immigrants, we've talked about veterans. What can we do better for them in Washington, D.C.? We've talked about affordable housing and public school student loans. So all these are very relevant issues to those across the 6th District. But we can do better. We can do better for our veterans. Our veterans need us to do better, and I have a plan for that. We need to put the healthcare back in their hands while taking care of them because they took care of us. We can do better at the border. While securing our border, we can also have a very open and wide gate that allows for a legal process for those who truly want to pursue a life in America. So yes, let's secure our border, but let's have that open and process that we can vet those who do want to pursue freedom in America. We can definitely do better with our economy. This is something Washington, D.C. has failed on for numerous years, and we're seeing it. We're seeing the effects right now. It's been brought up several times tonight. So as you consider your vote, as you consider what issues are important to you, I want to challenge you to really value your vote because your vote is valuable. You know, I want to thank the League of Women Voters because they realize how valuable your vote is. And we need you guys to show up in November to vote. So, no, I'm here for to listen to your concerns. I want to represent Hoosiers in the 6th District, and I'll be here to hear those. So let's have these discussions across our dining room tables, and let's value our vote in November.
Thank you, candidates. The information about the League's Vote 411 website is in the lobby as you exit. Please look at that. Candidates have received invitations, all candidates, to place information and their answers to some questions about current issues on Vote 411. For our listeners at home and also those of you in the room here that would like to review tonight's audio, we will make that available on our social media and also the vote, or rather listen anytime. I'm in voting mode in my mind. The other thing that we want for you to encourage people to do out there in Greenfield and beyond is register to vote and please exercise that right. Please let's give another round of applause to our candidates tonight. Thank you for attending and for listening, and good night.
And that's the wrap here from Greenfield, Indiana at Rick Center for the Arts. Very lively discussion this evening. A lot of important topics covered, as you heard. Of course, immigration and, of course, affordable health care, school gun violence, voting rights, Social Security, abortion, some of the topics that were discussed here this evening fielded by the candidates from the audience. And, of course, you'll be able to hear a great deal of those answers in coverage in the coming hours and days on our radio stations, tomorrow with Steve Lindell on our newscast, as well as on our Wolf Boom radio stations on Delaware County Today on WMUN as well. So, again, you've been listening to Cynthia Wirth, the Democrat candidate, and Libertarian James Siniak. In case you were wondering about Republican Jefferson Shreve, he was invited but had other commitments and was unable to make it this evening. So that's going to be a wrap from here from Greenfield, Indiana. I'd like to thank our technical staff, of course, Sean Mattingly here at the board for running things, and back in the radio stations, Zach Johnson and Emily Guffey for making things run smoothly there, and of course, Steve Lindell for moderating tonight's event. I'm Brett Busby. I want to thank you again for listening. That's it from Greenfield, Indiana. Have a good evening and stay tuned for more of our regularly scheduled programming.